As you take your seats, if you'd turn to Luke chapter 18, that is where we'll be this morning. So Luke chapter 18, and a lot of your Bibles probably read the parable of the persistent widow, and we're going to talk about that this morning. And it's interesting, as we watch the world around us and as we read the news and on the internet or in the newspaper, the world is constantly changing around us at a rapid pace, isn't it? And a lot of times what we see is a lot of injustice, don't we? We see a lot of things that contradict the Word of God and what He's commanded. And I know this past week, even with the people that had done the videos exposing Planned Parenthood, have become under indictment again. And my first thought was, Lord, what's going on here? And a lot of times we become hard-hearted and cynical because the world is continuing to spin out of control and further away from the Lord and what He's commanded, that our hearts become hard and it becomes, why do we even bother? Why do we even try? We become cynical sometimes and give up. And Scripture has told us not to give up, but to continue to wait for the return of the Lord. So this morning, we're going to read a little bit about that. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Read along with me. Start in verse 1. And He, Jesus, told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. And He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to Him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while He refused, but afterward He said to Himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to His elect who cry to Him day and night? Will He delay long over them? I tell you, He will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? Would you bow for a word of prayer with me? Our Father and our God, we gather this morning not only to sing praise to Your name, but Father, to see Your word and how it plays out in our lives. The Father, we study the word so that we know who You are. So Father, this morning, help us to not lose heart in regards to the world around us. But Father, help us to remain steadfast in relationship with You, to persist and pursue You as the widow did. So Father, this morning, may our hearts be turned towards You. May our minds be quickened to Scripture, Lord. And may our ears be attentive to Your word. That Father, as we rise and leave this place into the mission field that You've called us, that we'll be equipped for the work that is ahead. So Father, thank You for this time. May You bless it. And it's in Your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray all these things. Amen. Our passage today follows Jesus' teaching about the coming kingdom. And as He was talking with the Pharisees and He had the crowds all around Him, He was telling them that He was coming back again, that He would leave them and come and return. And He tells the disciples this parable because the Pharisees were beginning to reject what Jesus was saying. So He gathers up the 12. He says, guys, get close, because I need to tell you more about prayer in regards to what I've just spoken to you about. So He tells them this parable and how to persevere in the days between His first coming and when He would come again. Between right now and then, how we are to live. And this is where we find ourselves today, still in that place where the disciples were when Jesus spoke these words and heard these words from Jesus. We're still in that place between when He came and when He's coming again. And this is something that as a believer we hold tightly to. We who believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, are consciously anticipating the imminent return of Christ. Are we not? Amen. And it means that God can bring about at any moment all the pieces of what he has willed to happen to allow the timing of Christ's return to gather us, his bride, the church, to himself at any moment. That is what we hold to. And this is what Jesus was telling them how to live as they wait and watch. And as we live between Christ's first coming and his second, what is the appropriate response to all that we see going on in the world around us? As we see the outcome and the production of the corruption of sin in the world, how do we respond? And how we answer that question will impact how we live today in relationship to God and the days to come as we wait for his return. Will we remain faithful in prayer, or will we give up and become hard-hearted? So we'll start with the parable, the judge. Let's begin with him. Let's unpack this parable a little bit. You see, a judge was a person that stood at the gate of the city, and he was one that handled all civil legal matters, and that was where they were resolved. His role as judge would be to discern a just result, to give regard to the law and commands of God, and to apply that to the people's needs of what they were seeking from him. See, King Jehoshaphat gave clear instructions on how the judges were to operate. In 2 Chronicles 19, 7 through 9, he gives us this picture of how they are to operate and live out the function of their duty as judge at the gate. I know that you don't have verse 7, I couldn't fit it, so I'm going to read it to you. Now then, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Be careful what you do, for there is no injustice with the Lord our God, or partiality, or taking of bribes. Moreover, in Jerusalem, Jehoshaphat appointed certain Levites and priests and heads of families of Israel to give judgment for the Lord and to decide disputed cases. They had their seat at Jerusalem, and he charged them, "Thus you shall do in the fear of the Lord, in faithfulness and with your whole heart. Whenever a case comes to you from your brothers who live there in that city concerning bloodshed, law or commandment, statutes or rules, then you shall warn them that they may not incur guilt before the Lord and wrath may not come upon you and your brothers. Thus you shall do, and you will not incur guilt." But this judge that Jesus described was of poor character. This man had no regard for God. He describes him as one who was unrighteous, who overlooked the needs of the people that he served as judge. And it states that he gave no regard for God and what he commanded. And he gave no regard for the needs of man. And Jesus describes him as this unrighteous man, this dishonest, corrupt, unjust, the outcome of a depraved man completely absent of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And it says that he did not fear God. He had no concern for him. Sin ruled in his heart. He was not compelled by the reverence of who God was, who he declared himself to be. He was not motivated by worship. He was a godless, wicked man. And the other side of that was that Jesus said that he did not fear man. It says that he gave no respect for man, no regard for people. He was not motivated by compassion or sympathy for the needs of others. And that word respect means to be put to shame. This man could not be put to shame. There was nothing that he could do that would shame himself. This man did not possess the ability to be put to shame, leading to his lack of respect for mankind and human life. He could not do anything that would cause him shame. He was his own law. And shameless because he was comfortable with his own wickedness and indifference to God's commands and to justice. He was not controlled by the law of God, but his own selfish interest and selfish and sinful desires. And the outcome was unjust in his judgments for his own personal gain. He did not love God nor his neighbor. Jesus has just described the character of the most wicked human being ever on the face of the planet. And then Jesus turns and tells us about the widow. And she gives us this picture of helplessness, unable to be vindicated in her own ability. Her own means to get justice was to persistently nag this unrighteous judge to vindicate and to champion her case. She had no husband or sons to plead her case for her. She was without representation. She had no money to bribe him. Her only means was to chase this man down and continue to plead for his help. And the judge was to show mercy to widows, as the scriptures commanded. And this man had no regard for her. In Deuteronomy 24, 17 and 18, it says, "You shall not pervert the justice due the sojourner or the fatherless, or take a widow's garment in pledge, but you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore, I command you to do this." They were actually to do and fight for the justice of widows pro bono without cost because it was what God commanded them to do. It was their responsibility to care for them, to watch out for them, to plead their case. In Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, it says, "Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's case." Do you see a trend here? God was continuing to remind them of what they needed to do as their responsibility as a judge. And this widow knew what the responsibility was, but this man would give her no regard. He resisted her, showing no mercy or care for his situation. His conscience was completely seared. But she continued to persist and chase him down and nag him. "Give me justice over my adversaries." Beating him down, wearing him out with her request. She was causing him so much pain. Can you imagine him walking down the street and this widow was following him saying, "Come on, please give me what I ask. Help me." To the point that the word literally means to give a black eye. And it had nothing to do with this man's reputation. As I read that, she was being so persistent that he was actually afraid of her. And that she might go to means of actually physically harming him. Jesus has a sense of humor. To think that this man and his motivation to help her was out of fear of her because he was afraid that she was going to hurt him because he refused to help. So as a result, this judge says, "I will plead your case. Just when I'm done, please go away. I never want to see you again." See, this parable is a good lesson from a bad example. The purpose of this parable was to teach that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. Jesus states that right from the very beginning. The Jewish culture limited their times of prayer to 3 times a day, and now Jesus is contradicting the Pharisees and what they've taught and saying, you need to pray at all times, not just 3 times a day. You ought to always pray. And in this moment, Jesus is continuing to teach his disciples as the Pharisees eavesdrop and listen in on what he's telling them. So Jesus directs this parable to them, saying that no matter what the difficulty, injustice, or evil, the appropriate response is to persist and persevere in prayer, never giving up. And really, we all have two alternatives. We can either lose heart, grow hard-hearted, and live out our lives as the unjust judge did, with giving no regard to God and no regard to man, and minding our own business, and living out my own desires and my own goals in life. Or we can pray like the widow to our God, who is our righteous judge, who will vindicate us at the proper time that he has appointed. So the first thing I want to share with you out of this parable is this, the point. We are to pray with confidence because God will listen. We need to pray with confidence. Hebrews 4, 14 and 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Jesus was not depicting God as a judge who would treat believers as one who would give no regard to us. That's not what Jesus is communicating here. See, for those who believe in the gospel, we have been brought into intimate fellowship and relationship with the Father. And since those who believe are adopted as his children, we desire and we're drawn close to him as a result. A close relationship is built on communication, and God has commanded us to pray without ceasing. Has he not? And God is sensitive to the needs of his people, unlike the judge in the parable. He will act swiftly to bring justice for his children. And what seems like slow response or unanswered prayer on our side of the equation is really God's patience. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says, "The Lord is not slow about his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." See, what seems like God's delayed response or unanswered prayer really has a twofold purpose for us. First, it's to strengthen us as believers in our trust in him, our dependence upon him. Do you believe that? Because a lot of times, we get very impatient with God, don't we? But his purpose is that to strengthen us in faith. To strengthen our commitment to him. To allow us to trust him with everything. But the second is just as important. It is his postponed wrath giving opportunity for those who do not believe, who are wicked and separated from him and lost in sin, to come to repentance and to come into fellowship with God because of Jesus. See, we can pray with confidence because God is just, not unjust. And Jesus was making a comparison and saying that if a wicked man at times may do good, as this judge did for the widow, how much more will God do for those that are his children? Because he is the holy and righteous just judge. See, the judge was wicked, but God is righteous. The judge was unjust, but God is just. The judge rejected, but God accepts. The judge was intolerant, but God is compassionate. The judge was selfish, but God is benevolent. The judge was indifferent, but God was concerned. The judge was motivated by nagging. God is motivated by his love. In the unjust judge, if the unjust judge decided to give the widow justice, imagine how much more God will give us and vindicate us at the appointed time in which he has set upon his return. The second is we are to persevere in prayer, not preserve. Explain to me why spell check will never allow me to capitalize God and changes my points. We are to be like the widow and persevere in prayer. She did not give up. She continued to persist after this judge. She persevered through the affliction and the injustice that she was having. And Scripture tells us that what she was fighting for was right and just in God's eyes. We are to be like the widow, because truly we are helpless in ourselves to bring about the vindication that God has intended through us, through Christ. Only He can do that. And we are helpless to bring about the outcomes of the difficulties that we often face, although we try, don't we? But we must plead to the one who is just and is capable of the outcome. We ought to always be like the widow, continuing to seek the Lord in prayer, keeping our hearts turned towards the hope that we have in Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, you probably saw this one coming a mile away. In verse 16, it says, rejoice always. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. And in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We're to persevere in prayer. And it's not about incessant nagging of God for what we want till we get it, like a child in the toy aisle. That is not the approach that God is describing here. That is not what Jesus is saying to us. It's living a life in prayerful dependence because He is the great provider. He is the one that will provide vindication. And it's the habit of one's life to seek God first in all things. It's not a lack of faith to pray for what is in one's heart. I pray for my girls every day. I pray for the husbands that one day will marry them. I pray that their hearts will continue to be drawn close to Him no matter what it is that they're learning, and that God will use that. I pray for my wife and her relationship with the Lord and how I might help her nurture that. These are things that I pray for every day. Is that incessant nagging of God? No, because this is my heart. I want them to be close to the Lord. I desire that for them. And we're to pray as the Lord taught the disciples in Matthew 5:19-13. The Lord's Prayer. Many of you have had to memorize that through Awana. Many of you have helped your children memorize that one through Awana. But there's one phrase in there that says, give us this day our daily bread. Because the Lord is the provider. And He is the one that will provide. And it also says that we are to pray and not lose heart. And to lose heart means that we no longer believe God will answer our prayers. We give up. God's not going to answer it, or He's already answered it, but I don't like the answer that He gave me. So why am I going to bother? Because I didn't get what I wanted from Him. Wrong motives. The aspect of prayer is to draw us into deep relationship with God. Not to treat Him like a genie in the bottle, to get what we want from Him. For many will lose heart and give up the faith. Jesus said, will He find faith on the earth upon His return? You see, whatever the timing, we are always to be ready, and we are never to give up. We are to persevere through every circumstance and every season of life, chasing after God, because He is our God. He is the one who has made the means for us to be in relationship with Him through Jesus. There is no other way. And whatever the case, if it's unanswered prayer, if it feels like God is taking too long, go back to the purposes. It's to strengthen us in our relationship with Him. But it's also to give time for those who have not trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the opportunity to do that. And He may use the circumstance that you're in to draw others into that relationship with Him. To face the difficulties that we have with an attitude of persistent, persevering, confident prayer in the Lord. That no matter what's going on, we are brought to the feet of Christ because he is the one that died for us. Prayer continues to keep us in that deep relationship with him. To grow hard-hearted is to draw away. I hope you are not in any, I hope none of you are in that place now where your heart has grown hard because you feel that God has not answered you. But let me tell you that if it is, and that is where you're at, it just takes a turn and into his arms. The concept of the persistent widow is to draw us into deep relationship with God. It's not to get what we want. Whatever the timing, we are always to be ready for his return, never giving up, no matter what circumstances, what seasons, what's going on in the world around us. It's to remain faithful. And remain faithful by hearing from his word and studying it and reading it. But we also remain close to him in prayer. Do not neglect those things. There's two concepts that we're beginning to work through with the student ministry here. The first is we're in the midst of, and the students are working through this and coming to understand it, that we study scripture to know who God is and his character. And as we round the corner at the end of the school year and in the next fall, we're going to be transferring that into understanding what it is to be prayerfully dependent on God. Because really, at every moment, we're dependent upon him to supply the air that we need to breathe. We are dependent upon him for everything that we need. So what does that look like lived out and practiced? And really, this entire parable has everything to do with understanding what it means to be prayerfully dependent on the Lord. The widow had no means of her own. But she pleaded. What was heavy on her heart and the injustice that she was being served was ultimately for God's glory. But in the end, she would be vindicated at the proper time. So what may seem like distance is for a reason. Don't lose sight of that. Jesus is calling us to live in hope as we face difficulties of many kinds, whether persecution, affliction, or oppression, between his resurrection and his return, between now and then, we are to be watchful in prayer for the Lord's return, crying, as Paul told us in 1 Corinthians, "Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come." We are praying always while being watchful of his glorious appearing, which, by the way, is coming close. And I know we've been saying that for 2,000 years, but it's coming close. Be watchful in prayer. Would you stand with me as we close? Our Father and our God, you are the great provider. And we are dependent on you for the very breath that we breathe. May we persist in prayer, Lord, after you. May we not lose heart. May we persevere, seeking you out, Lord, in all circumstances, good or bad, in thankfulness or in pleading for your assistance. That, Father, to know that you're at work in our hearts and you're growing us closer to you and you're strengthening our faith as if gold was in the fire to purify us, Lord. But to know also that you could use those circumstances for the other side of the equation, Lord, to draw people to you as a result of our witness and our commitment to you. That, Father, people would come to know you, that we use whatever the affliction, whatever the oppression, whatever the persecution that is going on in the world, Lord, that you would use those things as people are pleading for vindication and justice of you in your hand. That, Father, you would use it in those moments to draw people to your name. And that, Father, upon your glorious appearing, we'll be able to rejoice knowing that your patience was for your will, that people would come to know you. So, Father, we look forward to your coming. Help us not to lose heart. But, Father, that we would seek you in prayer, that you would calm us and help us to see that there's a greater picture going on around us because you're at work. Thank you, Lord, for your love, your concern, and your care for us, your children. It is in your Son's name, Jesus Christ, that we pray these things. Amen.